American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And good day, this is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, March 29th, 2005. I've got my Hawaiian shirt on and all of Soma that I can broadcast out to you in the internet because this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core politicals that are trying right now at this very moment to not make your life entirely all that pleasant. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can go to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and from there you'll be able to follow along with me as I read along all these lovely stories about this crazy messed up world we live in. This is a free radio broadcast. What does that mean? That means that I'm not charging you for it, but you can donate, and you are free to distribute this any way you see fit. You can burn it onto disc and hand it out to cops the next time they ask for your license and registration. And a big hello to all my law enforcement brethren that may or may not be listening at this point in time, surveillance or non-surveillance. I don't know why they'd be using surveillance because the show is freely distributed. You can just download it and don't worry about spending any budget money. If you'd like to download and review this entire program to see if I've said any naughty words or bad ideas, you can get it through either Rant Radio or the Vox Music Network. And those, if you actually have access to, you know, some massive megawatt antenna, or perhaps you are owning a satellite, in which case you could, you know, broadcast it to the world, and you think, wow, you know, Sean Kennedy, he's the shit. Well, if that's how you feel about it, then you can contact Samarian at info@randradio.com, and we will set you up to rebroadcast this show so we can get all the truth out to all the people in the world, like some of these people here who've sent me some feedback. Now, generally, I'm a big fan of knives. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of knives, so I got a WOG sent me in this story here. Check this out. Dear Sean K., knives save lives. Newsflash. Me and a few friends were on our way to an Air Force Base Recreation Center workout today. Ooh, so they're in the Army even. Well, they're sort of in the Army. They're in the Air Force. Oh! The driver pulls into a burnout on a dirt road and rolled the car. You want to know why? Because he's in the Air Force! This roll occurred on a remote dirt road outside the town I live. Me and four other people in the vehicle were all wearing seatbelts when the Explorer flipped. What are you doing driving an Explorer? Horrible SUVs. First thing that came to mind was getting out of the car. My friends managed to get free of their seatbelts. However, I couldn't get out. I weighed about 200 pounds, and I hang upside down, making the seatbelt tighten around my waist. I tried to maintain my cool as I tried to get it undone. 5 minutes later, the belt is still not coming undone. I start to panic, yelling for someone to cut this harness of death as it's cutting off my circulation at the waist. I start to feel dizzy from hanging upside down, which, incidentally, if you do that for a really long time, like a week or so, you go insane. I start contemplating how I will get out. Right now, I had two options. I could squeeze the fuck out, which is not happening, or I could cut the belt. A friend informs me that the vehicle may, in fact, be on fire. Nice friend! Hey, I know you're trapped, but I think the truck is on fire. And his response is, how the fuck am I not panicking now? I was getting very tired and dizzy. 5 minutes later still, so we're 10 minutes after the crash, which is a long time to be hanging upside down in a car. A friend found a razor blade in a witness's car. What's that witness doing with a razor blade? And cut the belt, which let me down. I crawled out of the car, couldn't stand up for a moment, but I was thankful someone cut the seatbelt. I was thankful for my friend who stayed with the car, helping me attempt to get out. Later, I remember that I left my knife at home because we were going to an Air Force base. At that point, the point is, now I realize the importance of a knife in this given situation. Sean K., you are the fucking man for the advice for everyone. Carry a knife. Knives are a great tool and can save people's lives. I will now carry my knife with me wherever I go. And that's from Deadly22. And totally, I'm completely, you know, all God's creatures got knives. You know, really. Everybody in nature has got, you know, something sharp they keep with them. And I'm a big believer that everyone should at least carry a pocket knife. Really. I mean, whether or not you want to go buy yourself, you know, some crazy cold steel gun sight tactical blade, or you're going to drop monster cash for, like, some extreme ratio full-cum folder from onestopknifeshot.com or whatever, you know, wherever you want to get yourself a useful and utilitarian pocket knife. And when the cops ask you what it's for, you tell them it's a useful and utilitarian pocket knife, but it's 18 inches long and can open with a flick of the wrist. Be that as it may, it is a useful and utilitarian pocket knife. And when you open it, you use two hands and drop it at least twice. And that way, they'll be less likely to believe that, no, you are not a highly trained weapon that only uses knives and guns as tools. In actuality, you are a bumbling internet nerd, so play that up, and you will avoid the large cell with the man who wants to ass ram you with no lube. So, getting straight into the news, war crimes aren't crimes, they're war. Washington, U.S. Army commanders, in a shocking, like, huge shock slash sarcasm, have decided not to prosecute any of the 17 American soldiers implicated in three separate incidents involving the deaths of prisoners in Iraq and Afghanistan in 2003-2004, according to a new accounting released by the Army on Friday. In each of the cases, the commanders chose to disregard recommendations by Army investigators. Since when does the Army make recommendations? Who had proposed that the soldiers be charged with crimes that include murder, conspiracy, and negligent homicide. The Army account showed only two of the 17 soldiers were disciplined at all in connection with the three deaths, receiving a letter of reprimand and a discharge from the Army, respectively. Here's a note, get out. The Army revised a total prisoner deaths to 27 and listed 21 soldiers as subjects of criminal offenses that include murder, neglect, homicide, and assault. Now, no action was taken against 15 of the 17 soldiers implicated in three deaths, the Army said. It said the commanders had determined that one of the three deaths involving a former Iraqi lieutenant colonel, who investigators said died of a blunt force injuries and asphyxia. So he got beaten about the face and head and got choked to death at an American forward operation base in Al-Assad, Iraq, in January 2004, was, quote, a result of serious lawful applications of force, end quote. In that case, Army investigators had recommended that 11 soldiers from the 5th Special Forces Group and the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment be charged with crimes. The decision not to prosecute in that case, as well as in one other, was made by Army Special Forces Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the Army said. Now, a lot of people are going to be jumping up and down. You're going to get everybody on the other side saying, oh my God, I can't believe this. They killed like 21 people. Or no, they didn't. Sorry, they killed three people in this, you know, prison. How horrible. Well, again, you know, not to quote Apocalypse Now too much here, but handing out murder charges in war is like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500. When you keep in mind that, you know, pretty much they're bombing the shit out of everything over there. There's all kinds of women and children dying. So, you know, they catch these guys who are enemy combatants. They said they roughed them around a bit. And bear in mind, these people, you know, the really, you know, rabid Muslim types, they think it's a good idea to die for their God. You know, that's all, you know, pro bono. If you get to, you know, geek as many soldiers as you can, that's great. So, you know, we don't know. We're not in that prison. We don't know what happened there. But, you know, it's not like these people were civilians. It's not like they grabbed, you know, women and children off the street, took them into a prison, tied them into a chair, and, like, you know, deboned their arms, which is things that Saddam Hussein and other, you know, crazy, crazy military dictators do. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not incredibly in love with a lot of, intelligence work that goes on around the world, especially perpetuated by the Americans. But at least they're a little civilized about it, you know what I mean? At least they have a reason. If the CIA and the NSA and all the other A groups, even Donnie's boys, don't have a reason to come talk to you, what do you want to bet they're not going to come talk to you? Because these guys are running their ass off all over the planet trying to find terrorists. So my take on this is, yeah, I think it's ridiculous to charge soldiers with murder, really, especially when, you know, you're in a time of war and you're in a theater of operations. People go, well, that's terrible. This is horrible. I can't believe that happened. Well, congratulations, boys and girls. Next time you get a chance to vote for or against war, you vote against war because war is bad. When you think that war is not bad and that there's any kind of rules whatsoever in war, then you are more apt to go to war. Do you see my point? War is no bets. War is no rules. War is war. You got to do what you got to do to get the fucking job done, period. That's it. And all these boys that are going to be coming home and everybody's going to be, you know, talking their chairborne armchair general bullshit to them, they don't know shit. So just leave vets alone. If you don't know what else to say other than that, just buy them their beer. That's what I got to say about that, because that just pisses me off. Now, we got a new bill coming through in the United States called the Shoot First Bill, which is a first piece of law enforcement and legislation I've seen go through Well, it's not really law enforcement. It's law. It's sort of it's related to that, but it's legislation that I could probably get behind. Now, listen to this. Local law enforcement officials have mixed reviews over a bill passed by the Florida Senate Wednesday that would allow a homeowner or a vehicle driver to shoot first and ask questions later once an intruder forcibly enters their domain. Now, that means that everything's locked. Some guy breaks your window, breaks the window of the car. They're coming in to get you. Under current law, homeowners cannot use deadly force unless they believe an intruder intends to kill them or a loved one or severely harm them. And that's what we got here in Canada. If an intruder breaks into my house here in Canada, cuts himself on my steak knife that I left on the counter, the son of a bitch can sue me. Anyone who kills an intruder without such a severe threat can face criminal persecution. With the proposed law, backed by the National Rifle Association, oh, get your hands off my gun, you damn dirty ape. The intruder would be presumed to have a deadly intent and authorize a person to use deadly force against an intruder or an attacker in a dwelling. It also provides immunity from criminal prosecution. The Senate passed the bill unanimously on Wednesday. A similar bill is working its way through the Florida House of Representatives. We are in support of this bill, said the Central Florida Police Benevolent Association President John Park. What could merely start out as a simple burglary could escalate into rape or even murder, Park stressed. There is an aggressive nature by the suspect. Well, yeah, if they're breaking into your house, and quite often, you know, like just my neighbor, both of my neighbors, as a matter of fact, have been victims of home invasions right where I live. One of them is a war vet with one arm from the Second World War. He's this old dude, man, and you don't even talk about how crazy I got when I found out about this. They spray-painted swastikas in front of his house, and this guy was there, man. This guy was, like, fighting, you know, the Nazis and stuff, and they're jacking this guy, and that's what these scumbag, criminal, piece-of-shit losers do. And the really funny thing is that people like to try to compare file sharing and internet, the spread of information to these thieves that break into houses and kill people to get the money to suck on glass dicks for crack. Okay, that's where they're trying to compare the file sharing people with these criminals who break into houses and kill innocents. Like, there's no comparison there. That's insulting to even think of that. But St. Cloud Police Chief Pat Kelly had real concerns about the bill, said there was a risk of a deadly mistake. There have been incidents in the nation where an inebriated individual has been shot trying to enter the wrong residence. I call natural selection. If you have a drunk individual comes to the wrong door, he can be shot dead right there, Kelly said. You're damn straight. I don't want some drunk idiot stumbling into my house. I don't care what the guy is. If he's, you know what, think about this from a perspective. I'm a fair-sized human being. But let's say your wife / girlfriend / teenage daughter, whatever, is in the house and you've got some drunk son of a bitch come stumbling through the front door. I mean, realistically, what are you going to do there? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what this guy's going to do. And I've been pretty hammered, and I've never broken into a place while hammered because I thought it was my own house. You know, several years ago, a St. Cloud had a rash of juvenile burglaries. Kelly questioned under the proposed bill whether they could have been shot and killed. Well, if they're breaking into your house to steal your shit and you don't know what they're going to do, yeah, blow them away. That's what I say. Absolutely. I fucking hate thieves. Hate them. Cannot stand thieves, especially those nasty. Okay, to me, a thief is anyone who breaks into your place and takes your shit. Okay, not copies your shit, takes your shit, and then you no longer have your shit to do with as you see fit. That bugs the hell out of me. So I'm all behind this law. If I was in my house and I heard a bunch of people breaking into my front door, you can bet I'd be redecorating. Okay, because holy crap, there's no reason to allow these pricks when they're breaking into your house, especially when you've got loved ones there. You don't know if they've got a gun. You don't know what's happening. So I think if we had more laws like this, you could bank that, yeah, might get a little intense for a first little while, but then everything would just kind of level out. You know, there would be a lot less, losers on the market. And in China, they have a corpse network, which I love the Ringrush translation, so I just kept it. Instead of a zombie network, we have a corpse network. A man who hacked 100,000 computers. Jesus. I'm sure he didn't physically hack 100,000. I'm sure he did it through some spam or email, because if he did, wow, that's kung fu. To launch group attacks, has been arrested in Tangshan, North China's Hebei province, according to the Ministry of Public Security on Friday. Wouldn't you like to be him, being in China and convicted and arrested for hacking 100,000 computers? Goodbye. We'll be seeing your organs on eBay, pal. The Ministry's Public Information and Internet Security Supervision Bureau determined that many attacks came from a large group of computers embedded with virus programs. So he didn't hack them. He got them infected. These computers were maneuvered by one hacker via several servers, both at home and abroad. More than 60,000 of the 100,000 computers were within China. Some of them were owned by government departments and other important sectors, said officials with the Bureau. Wow, this guy's so fucked. The former so-called, quote-unquote, corpse network, an attack tool popular among internet hackers, which can prevent other computers from regular service or send out mass junk emails on the hacker's orders, officials said. I love, you know, the official story that governments say for things like corpse networks. That just scares me. I want a t-shirt, corpse network. A hacker could also steal and use users' information stored in computers, the official said, but didn't disclose the name of the arrested suspect. I wonder why they didn't do that. The number of crimes taking advantage of network technologies is climbing in China. Online pornography, gambling, and fraud are focal points in the country's extensive crackdown. Well, good luck, China. If anyone was going to be able to crack down on the internet and totally regulate it just into, you know, comatose pain levels, I imagine it would be China. You know, these are the same people who sell off their convicted criminals' organs. So if anyone, you know, it's not like they have a lot of rights going on over there. I mean, if anyone wants to really lock something down, you know, no doubt the United States will be taking a few cues from China as, you know, they and try to tighten the screws on the internet in America and in North America and over here. And, you know, we can already see that Britain's starting to nail this stuff down, because last thing that anybody wants is freedom for the peasants. Now, blood money for drug companies in India. Now, as you know, or may not know, India and surrounding countries over there have got a real fucking problem with this AIDS thing. Okay, it's way out of control. HIV is monster over there. There's all kinds of people infected. So they need help over there, okay? But controversial legislation approved by lower house of India's parliament yesterday, 22nd of March, could drastically increase the cost of cheap HIV drugs and other medicines in the country produces, according to international humanitarian organizations. Now, if you've never been to India, trust me, there is poverty in India like nothing you have ever seen, okay? There is poverty there that is just some of the worst in the world. The law threatens to affect the provisions of healthcare to hundreds of thousands of patients. Hundreds of thousands of them. That's got global implications. Many of them are in Africa, for whom low-cost Indian drugs are the only affordable means of treating AIDS. So, we have, you know, thousands and thousands of people who are going to die because of profit. However, large pharmaceutical companies are welcoming the law, as it will protect products they have spent millions of dollars during research and development. The new patents bill is intended to bring India's patent regime into line with the world's. Trade Organization's Agreement on Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights, known as TRIPS. Nice TRIPS. One of the conditions of India's membership to the WTO. There's that WTO again. Isn't that a great organization? The previous India Patents Act, 1970, recognized patents on pharmaceutical processes, but not on pharmaceutical products, allowing domestic pharmaceutical companies to produce cheap copies of patented drugs made by foreign companies using alternative production methods. Well, they're making medicine and giving it to people for cheaper. That, of course, is bad, according to the industry. Well, we spend millions of dollars. Dude, people are dying. People are fucking dying. People are dying from a horrible disease, and they're producing these drugs to get this disease under control. But as India emerged as one of the world's leading suppliers, these generic medicines, multinational companies complained that the trade in generic drugs was losing them, they're losing money, an estimated of $500 million every year in lost revenue. You know, this kind of a story right here is the sort of thing that just puts my teeth on edge. Because of this act, do you realize how many people are going to die? How much blood is on the hand of these multinational drug companies? No matter how bad I am, even if I was to start killing people right now, even if I wigged out, grabbed a straight ranger, ran down to the schoolyard, just started slitting throats all over the schoolyard, I'd be shot dead tops, even if I was having a good day at 150 kids. Shot dead for sure. That'd be the upswing. These guys here are going to be killing hundreds of thousands of children in third world nations. But who cares, right? Who cares? People in these nations, they don't have any money, therefore no power, therefore no rights. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Let them all die. Let them all die. They're brown people. They're cutting in on our profits. Does anybody else see how unbelievably sick that is? I mean, granted, yes, okay, you spent some money, you did some research, but it's not like you guys, last time I checked, correct me if I'm wrong, but the multinational drug companies are not really hurting for the bucks, okay? They're not really, you know, starving. nobody over there is like, oh, God, you know, they ripped me off for my HIV drugs, so now I can't afford to pay for my cable. That does not occur. Okay, these people are making money, and they're going to decide to let hundreds of thousands of people die because they want to make more money. You know, I sometimes I sit back and I go, you know, wow, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is a God. Maybe, just maybe, there is a God. Maybe there's a, you know, like a classic sort of, you know, biblical Torah, Quran kind of God going on. And when I get, you know, yanked up there, I'll be like, shit, I was wrong. And there's all the big judgment there. I think I'll probably get punched in the face a few times and then thrown through the pearly gates. But I'm really going to be hanging out on the other side waiting for these multinational drug companies to show up because, dude, I'm sure it's going to take a god to come up with a just dessert for these guys. You know, realistically, the executives involved in this may kill more people than Joseph Mengele, the blue-eyed angel of death. This is like a biological holocaust being perpetuated, and it's like a blurb. Nobody's talking about this because nobody cares, because nobody's willing to stand up to these multinational drug companies. That just, wow. You know, really, I can't fathom that. You know you're supposed to just go on to the next story, but, you know, really, that one bears a few moments of ranting. I really think it does. Which brings us to the next story called Don't Hate the Media, Become the Media Yet Again. An Austrian village is testing technology, this is great, that could represent the future of television. The people of Engerwitzdorf, I'm not kidding, that's its name, Engerwitzdorf, are filming, editing, and producing their own regional news channel. What a fantastic idea. The channel covers local politics, sports, events, and anything that residents want to film and are prepared to upload for others to watch on PCs. The pilot has been so successful that Telekom Austria is now considering setting up other projects elsewhere. Come here. I will set that up. I would be the brand new Dan Rather for all these sons of bitches. It's growing unbelievably fast, said Rudolf Fischer, head of Telekom Austria's fixed line division. The trial of Bunce Fersen, multicolor TV, I guess it's called, was started in late 2004. It creates a net-based TV station run by 8,000 residents of Engerwitzdorf, which is very similar, I think, to what Rant TV does. The hardware and software that turned video footage into edited programs has been provided by Telekom Austria, but this equipment, following training, has been turned over to the villagers. Any video program created by the villagers is uploaded to a Bunce Fernhans porthole that lets people browse and download what they want to watch. Now, in the beginning, you know that the first few TV shows are going to be shit like gardening and how to make cheese. But you can honestly bet that in a country like Austria, they got a lot of smart people over there, and you don't want to fuck with the Austrian hacker crowd. That is a brilliant, brilliant plan. Why not make our own programming? Why not make our own TV station? That's exciting. It's nice to see that that is happening. And not so nice to see is the monster truck data insecurity, which is yet another reason why you don't tell people shit about your personal information. I don't care who they are. Your mom really doesn't need to know your social insurance number, okay? Nobody needs to know that. Nobody needs to know that. You want to write down fake ones and keep them with you or something, because holy crap, the insecurity that's going on in the world with your personal data. I mean, there is no security. They just, anything they take from you, they may as well just broadcast it. Check this out. Homeland Security officials, the Homeland Security, the people in charge of security, the Homeland Security, the king of paranoid, Homeland Security officials failed to keep millions of airline passengers' records secure. Millions with an S on that sucker. They failed to keep those records secure and repeatedly made false denials of their involvement in data transfers to the media and Congress, but they did not violate federal law, according to a report released Friday. We totally did what we said we weren't going to do, but we didn't break the law, so you can't send us to jail. The report, which is a PDF you can download, by Acting Department Homeland Security Inspector General Richard Skinner, found that Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, was involved in 14 different data transfers, totaling more than 20 million records. 20 million in 2002, 2003. That's like all the people in Canada. The report describes an array of data dumps from the airlines to TSA contractors and paints a picture of an agency unable to keep track of its own operations, leading to false denials of data transfers to the media and an accurate sworn testimony to the Senate. Isn't that illegal? If you lie to the Senate when it's sworn testimony, doesn't that actually make perjury? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. However, the department did not violate the Privacy Act. Oh, yeah, no, not at all. We're just handing out 20 million records. How the hell do you punish somebody for that? You know, what, a year for every record you violated or what? But they say they didn't violate the Privacy Act. I don't know how they could have. It's only 20 million records, which prohibits secret databases on Americans, since the agency used the records in bulk and did not look up individuals by name, according to the report. Well, that's retarded. So that's like saying, oh, okay, well, it's illegal to file to share individual songs, but if you swap the whole album, that's fine. Well, or it's illegal to swap the whole album as long as you do the whole discography or the entire record label and give us all the records on the record label. That's not, you know, illegal file sharing, even though they're handing out 20 million records of all my own personal records, you know, and they say that that's not a violation. Bullshit, Jack. I think that's just absolutely insane. Delta Airlines, JetBlue Airways, and American Frontier, Continental, and America West Airlines, along with three airlines, record processing firms, all secretly turned over data directly to the TSA and government contractors. So you don't even need to know. They don't need to tell you. They'll just take your data and do what they want with it, and it's what we'll catch them with, not with what they'll tell you. The data included names, addresses, dates of birth, itineraries, and credit card numbers. You got to have the credit card numbers in there. The date dumps came first to light after Wired News reported in September 2003 that JetBlue had violated its privacy policy by turning over 5 million records to an Army subcontractor.
What the hell?
Those records were augmented with personal records from Axiom, one of the country's largest data aggregation data aggregation, could be data aggression companies. That information includes incomes, occupations, vehicle ownership information, and, of course, social security numbers. And once you have that information, holy shit, what don't they have? Friday's report shows that JetBlue and Axiom participation did not stop there. Axiom provided in violation with JetBlue's privacy policy 2.75 million JetBlue records directly to HNC Software, a company hired by TSA to build a prototype of an airline passenger screening system. Fantastic. You know, why even have privacy laws? Privacy's dead. Get over it. That's what they're telling us. You know, you don't even have privacy anymore. Just stay in your cage and watch the cameras in the corner. Try not to avoid them. Don't set up lasers to burn out the cameras, because that would be bad. And why should you care? What do you have to hide? What's wrong with you, you subversive terrorist type? You, why don't you want to be watched 24/7? Why don't you want to have any privacy? What's wrong with you? Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? How can you possibly allow this kind of thing to happen? So, you know, me being the cynic I am, I just say, fuck it. Let's not give them any information whatsoever. And yet another company that's handing out information, Amazon. Everyone knows Amazon. You buy their stuff there. But they're tracking you. Big shot. Amazon.com has potentially one big advantage over its rival online retailers. It knows things about you that you may not know yourself. Isn't that just kind of frightening? Though plenty of companies have detailed systems for tracking customer habits, both critics and boosters say that Amazon is the trailblazer. Ooh, great. They're like a hero, having collected information on longer and used it more productively. It even received a patent recently on a technology aimed at tracking information about people for whom its customers buy a gift. If you can believe that. So if you get a gift for a person, who's this person? What's this gift for? This person likes this kind of thing, obviously, because you gave them a gift. Therefore, you're also tracking your friends. I mean, look at the implications of this. Amazon sees such data gathering as the best way to keep customers happy and loyal. Enslavement. A relationship-building technique that analysts consider potentially crucial to besting other online competitors. I don't really want to be a tool in besting online competitors. Thank you. In general, we collect as much information as possible such that we can provide you with the best feedback. Yes, yes. Hey, that worked for the communists. It'll work for Amazon. But some privacy advocates believe Amazon is getting dangerously close to becoming Big Brother with your credit card number. They're consistently finding new ways to exploit personal information, said Chris Hufnagel of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, an Amazon nemesis since 2000 after the company was charged with privacy policy to allow sharing personal information with companies it buys or partners with. Well, who the hell is not partnered with Amazon? So, good reason to not give Amazon any information or even shop there. For years, Amazon had collected detailed information about what customers buy, considered buying, browsed for but never bought, recommended to others, or even wished that someone would buy for them. It has built ever more sophisticated tools to recommend more purchases, direct your searches toward products it thinks you're most likely to want, or even stop the forgetful among us from buying the same book we purchased 5 years ago. Okay, I've done a lot of shopping, but I've never bought doubles of a book unless I intend to give them away. I'm hell for giving away Snow Crash. I'm always giving away Snow Crash to people, so I buy a lot of them. But, you know, This kind of thing is just what we hear about. You got to bear in mind, this is like the tip of the iceberg. How many other companies are doing this that aren't making the news? This is why you give nobody any information. When possible, use cash. Cash is king. That is what you want to use, because the more you're using all this information, the more this information can and will be used against you. And in Moscow, you know, all the freedoms that they've got in Moscow, it really scares the shit out of me, because first of all, you get governmental freedoms, right, that are like the government takes away your freedom. And when you just finally get your government under control, where you're starting to get some freedom again, who steps up to the plate? Religion. Religion's right in there like a dirty shirt, and they're trying to take away your freedom too. I love this stuff. A Moscow court has found the organizers of an art exhibition guilty of inciting religious hatred and fined them 100,000 rubles or $2,000 or $3,600 each. Inciting religious hatred. So I suppose that could be something that Marilyn Manson would be charged with. That would be something that, Rob Zombie could be charged with, Alice Cooper could be charged with, Ozzy Osbourne could be charged with. Hell, I could probably be charged with it. Inciting religious hatred. As a matter of fact, if we want the Scientology, yeah, you bet. I'm guilty of that too. The January 2003 exhibition called Caution, Religion, great title, was staged at the Sakharov Museum, named after the Soviet-era dissident Andrei Sakharov. Very cool. The Russian Orthodox Church has condemned director Yuri Samadurov and his colleague Lyudmila Valaskovaya. Good luck on these names, dude. Jesus, how do these people call their kids? Hey, Lyudmila! The court ruling said the show was openly insulting and blasphemous. Well, don't go. It featured an icon with a hole instead of a head where visitors could show their faces. That's like one of those things at the beach, you know, where you have the muscle chick and the muscle guy and the chick and stuff, and you just stick the face and the head there, and you can rock and roll. There was also a Coca-Cola logo with Jesus' face next to it with the words, "This is my blood." This sounds like a great show. I'd love to check this out. There was also of a sculpture of a church made from vodka bottles. Vandals defaced the exhibits just days after it went on display, but charges against them were later dropped. Mr. Sandarov, a leading human rights activist, insisted that he had no intention of insulting believers. He said the case against him was absurd and a direct challenge to freedom of conscience and expression. Well, quite obviously it is. What else could you call that? When they're trying to destroy art, you know, it's something that you have to go, well, you know, between the religion and government, never mind church and state, what is wrong with you people? Realistically, are you so concerned? Maybe this is, you know, when fear hits, what do they do? When people get afraid, what do? They turn to religion. The churches were doing a bump in business after 9/11 because they don't know what to do. So what are they going to do? They're going to go pray. So off you go pray. Which, there's nothing wrong with prayer. Don't get me wrong. Good meditation works. But when people are afraid, they either go one of two ways. They want the government to protect them, and so they'll be more receptive to governmental laws, or they'll go to the church, which, of course, the government loves, especially our government. If you read George Bush's Easter thing where he's all talking John 3:16 and, well, you know, our Lord and Savior and all the rest of it. And this is the head of the free world talking about some outdated backwater mud hut desert religion. Okay, that is, I'm all for you believe what you want, okay? But when I'm given a presidential address because I'm the leader of the free world, the last thing I want is a dude quoting scripture. The same scripture talks about end times, you know, and a great battle and, the whole book of Revelation, lots of people dying. I'd like somebody not working towards that, maybe away from that. Just a personal guideline. Couldn't we just kind of get something a little bit more, say, scientific, being as this would be the age of reason, you know, 21st century and all that sort of thing? I don't know. I'm way out of control over here. I know. Asking for things that no one's ever going to give me. What the hell's wrong with you, Sean? How can you possibly want to have a president leading the free world who isn't convinced of ancient religions thought up by people wearing sandals and riding camels? Okay. It's been a few thousand years. It's time to upgrade with the advent of science. We got a Hubble telescope over here. Don't keep feeding me this shit about creationist theory. And now, rather than going forward, we're trying to put these fucking laws in school that say we can't talk about the truth, which is science. I don't get it. Things like this make me absolutely batshit bonkers, man. I swear to God. Now, In other news, Big Blue, the IBM computer, became self-aware at 0230 Eastern Standard Time. IBM Big Blue, I was kidding about that, that's a direct quote from Terminator. IBM Blue Gene L, being assembled for the Department of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, performed 135.3 trillion floating point operations per second running benchmark software. This makes it the most powerful and fastest computer ever. The National Security Administration said the result eclipses the 70.72 teraflops that the smaller version of the system achieved running a line pack benchmark program last fall. So boy, did it ever kill it. It went from 70.72 teraflops to 135.3 trillion floating points. I imagine that's probably the same thing, teraflops. So it'd be a trillion floating. So it's almost doubled it. BlueGene, being assembled for the NNSA for simulating performance and safety of nuclear weapons and other applications, you can bet that's going to be used for cracking crypto, became the world's fastest supercomputer last September, surpassing Japanese government-funded system. Now, I'm all for these computers. I think that technology should be increasing forwards, but we haven't heard anything about quantum computers lately, have we? Has anyone else heard anything about quantum computers? For those of you unaware of what quantum computers are, they're computers that use light for doing the computations. And the reason why these computers are scary is once quantum computers hit the market. Now, normally with encryption, what happens is they try a code. That didn't work, so they try another code, and then you speed this up to just mind-numbing pace, where this is why it used to be said that it would take, you know, 80 years for a computer to crack this code, or 20 years, and they give you specs like that. You used to hear that when talking about encryption. And granted, with this crazy Big Blue IBM machine you got here, you can bank that that'll chew through encryption like hot knife through butter. However, the thing with a quantum computer is it doesn't try one computation at a time, as I understand it. The way it works is it tries all the computations at once because all the computational power is done apparently by light. Now, the physics involved in this is mind-numbing. But they were talking that NASA was saying they had sort of a functional one. They were heavily experimenting with it. And we haven't heard anything else about quantum computers in the last little while. So I'd be really, really interested to see what would happen. Oh, the quantum computer also was one of the few computers where the heavy math air dudes were like, there's a really good chance this computer could just become self-aware. Which, on one hand, I think that's hot. And on the other hand, I scream like a little girl and grab my crotch. And speaking of screaming like a little girl and grabbing your crotch, one of Britain's leading climate change experts has just finally said global warming's real. It's not bullshit, because, you know, that's the other ploy. It's like, oh yeah, you know, all this weather changing. No, natural cycle. One of Britain's leading climate change experts has thrown its weight behind a claim that global warming is being caused by human activity in a report published today by the Institute of Physics. The report by Professor Alan Thorpe, who takes up his post as a chief of the Natural Environmental Research Center next month, aims to tackle skeptics who doubt the models scientists use to protect future climate change. Professor Thorpe outlines the scientific basis for climate change and explains how the climate model actually predicts future change. According to Thorpe, uncertainty, quote-unquote, is one of the key issues in predicting climate changes, but is an aspect of the research which is very poorly understood by the public and policymakers. So what the fuck does that mean? In the report, Professor Thorpe says, science is crucial in determining governmental and international policies on climate change, but only some of the views on the issue are actually supported by scientific models. Okay, so he's doing a lot of science speak here. There's little doubt that the lack of knowledge about how the climate change is predicted and the association uncertainties are the main reason that there's so much ill-informed comment on the climate change in media among the public. So he doesn't... You know, I love it when these guys who are like the heavy hair dudes, like the guys with the big hair and they check out the big brain on Brad, when these guys get behind things like global warming, they never actually come out and say yeah, things are in a bad way. Very few, they do sometimes, but everyone's hyper-conservative. No one wants to rock the boat. There's no rogue scientists anymore. There's no brave scientist willing to stand up and say, guys, we're in real trouble here. You know why that is? Because if they do that, they will lose their funding and they will get kicked out of the university, and soon they will be unemployed scientists. And rather than doing quantum physics, they'll be asking, would you like fries with that? Because they won't be able to get work in the field. This is what happens when you have everything in education controlled by money. And of course, who controls the money but multinationals? So a lot of these scientists who know shit is fucked up are terrified to say anything because they know that their money, the hand that feeds them, could be cut off. And speaking of cutting off hands, something that is, I think, a good thing is they're talking about banning online hunting. Now, online hunting is a deranged concept where you hook a gun up to a camera and shoot animals with it. Inside a shed in Texas, a robotic 22 caliber rifle system people all over the world are tapping into literally to shoot. The website liveshot.com lets computer users log on and start firing a remote rifle by clicking a mouse. Right now, there are only targets to shoot at, but starting next month, you can hunt live animals. The first live hunt is set for April 9th. For $300, you get control of a remote camera and a rifle and be able to fire real-time bullets at non-native Texas animals such as Barrabee, Bighorn sheep, antelope, and wild hogs. On Lockwood's 200-acre fenced ranch, many Wisconsin hunters are outraged. Now, the reason for this outrage is not just because they think, well, they shoot animals too. But the difference is that if you shoot an animal when it's in front of you and you miss the shot, you can at least close with the animal and end its suffering rather quickly, as opposed to this robot, which will wound the animal because the chance of getting a clean kill is very, very unlikely. And the animal will stagger around as you, you know, take haphazard pot shots, crack shots at it, and, you know, gradually just nickel and dime this poor suffering creature to death. Afterwards, of course, you can't get anything. You can't even get a trophy because the animal's blown away and you're several thousand miles away. So what are you going to do? Log off? Nice. Representative Scott Gunderson of Waterford is trying to outlaw internet hunting, and good for you. When I first heard of it, I thought it was crazy. I mean, I just said, what are we doing to allow people to sit at their desk maybe 1,000 miles away and, you know, move your mouse and, you know, to shoot a deer? I mean, yeah, that seems a little nuts. Now, everyone's talking about terrorism. Getting past that story, moving on to another story. Everyone's talking about terrorism and invaders attacking the U.S. border. But are they really concerned about that? Because there's a new story here I've got about an invading force, a terrorist group that's attacking America's border that nobody seems to be talking about. The terrorist group is known as MS-13. Listen to this. This weekend marks the beginning of a month-long patrol of the U.S.-Mexico border region in Arizona by members of the local militia. So this is local militiamen. The militia members will be armed, traveling in groups, and on the lookout for suspicious activity, smugglers, and illegal aliens trying to enter the territory, crossing the border. Their principal opponent is in this endeavor, besides scores of protesters expected, is the Latin American gang known as MS-13. Okay, so this is an armed gang that's going to be attacking people patrolling the border. The gang, I like how they call them a gang, it's actually a terrorist unit, has dispatched soldiers to confront the militiamen and quote-unquote teach them a lesson. Jesus Christ. The militiamen don't appear too worried. Their ranks are thick with former soldiers. Okay, good. So they've got trained gunmen. But unfortunately, you ready for this? None of them have any rifles. They're all prohibited from carrying rifles. Only sidearms. So you've got a South American army gang who is, they've stated they're coming up here to attack you, but you're not allowed to carry a rifle. Obviously, no such restrictions have been placed on the soldiers contracted by MS-13. This is a volatile situation, to say the least. Now, I got this from Defense Review, and he's saying here that this could get very, very ugly. There are two sizable groups of armed men about to shoot it out on the Arizona border. Now, this isn't two men. This is an invasion force. They come up to say they're going to attack America's border. What else would you call that? There is no word on how the understaffed Border Patrol plans to defuse or monitor the situation. It appears that they're going to sit this one out. There's been a great deal of discussion on the issue of porous borders and the general consensus on America that it needs to be more to be done to prevent illegal entry, to stop the shipments of drugs and guns routinely make their way across the desert and end up in cities and parks across America. So they got this border here. This isn't like some family of people trying to cross the border to get a job and live a better life. This is an armed gang, okay, who are coming up to attack the militiamen specifically. How much more terrorist can you get than that? Really? I mean, I for one, hope that nobody gets killed. But there are several factors that are coming together to reduce the likelihood of a bloodless outcome, which is true. The primary disadvantages facing the militiamen are, one, they're not allowed to carry rifles. Okay, so your range has been cut down tops 200 yards. Two, the fact they will have to contend with American protesters in addition to hired killers. Three, they're receiving no official backup from the government. These are just militiamen, regular dudes, out there patrolling along with sidearms. they've been instructed to light fires and make noise to make their presence known. This is a very big mistake. And they would have a much better chance of survival if this action was conducted ambush style, which is true. I can't believe this. Nobody seems to care that there is an invading army called the MS-13. Granted, small. They're a gang. They're an illegal terrorist force attacking American citizens along the Arizona border. And the army is going, oh, well, whatever. Not a big deal. Bullshit, Jack. What the hell? If you're saying that you're going to be, you know, protecting your country from foreign invaders, how much more foreign invader can you get? They've stated clearly they're coming up here to, quote unquote, teach us a lesson. What are you going to do? No. Let's worry about file sharing. There's no money in protecting the Arizona border. There's no money in that, so I guess who gives a shit? All I want is a little bit of consistency. That's all I'm after here. The last thing I want to see is a bunch of good old boys who are trying to protect their homeland getting wasted by a bunch of drug-running terrorists from somewhere in South America. This is insane. I mean, Black Hawk, like Apache gunship much? Why don't we just put one lowly little Apache gunship on call? You know, you have a radio man with a militia group. They get bumped. They call up the Apache. It shows up, vaporizes a bunch of shitheads trying to kill, you know, American citizens. That's what the army's for. I can't believe this. I can't even believe that they won't give them rifles. It's insane. But that is the... So when you hear about, you know, we've got to secure our borders, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that this Big Brother system, it's not for the enemies of the United States. It's for the Americans. It's for American citizens. That's what it's for, quite obviously, because they won't even stand up against an armed insurgent drug-running gang coming to attack American people who are trying to defend the border. And no one's doing shit. So don't step to me about Homeland Security when you've got a story like this that everybody knows about, nobody's doing shit about. I mean, how can you possibly claim that there's any intention for Homeland Security whatsoever? However, on the upswing, we've got a new trauma pod battlefield medical droid on the books. Now, this is one of those cyberpunk kind of after-now stories that I just got to report on. Even though it's vapor right now, I still have to report on this because it's just absolutely insane to me, the tech that's coming out and is on the books. The Pentagon awarded $12.2 million in grants today, developed robots able to perform full scalpel and stitch surgeries on wounded soldiers in battlefield conditions. Now, personally, I marvel at combat medics. Anybody who's ever been a combat medic, I'm like, whoa, man, your kung fu is heavy, because there's no fucking way I could ever do that. The unmanned, quote-unquote, trauma pod would be linked wirelessly to Army Command without giving away its position to the enemy. It has to be nimble enough to perform under fire. This is a really, this is a very, very ambitious project, to say the least. The project remains at least a decade away. Of course, you know, taking into account Moore's Law, you don't really know. From appearing on any battlefield, surgeons will need to manipulate the robot in real time using technology to prevent any delays between the commands and the robot's actions. So, actually, it's not a robot. It's a drone. So, it's not really autonomous. It's not like the robot shows up and goes, you are injured. I will fix you. So, it is actually got, you know, you got a surgeon on the other end. Some of the initial technology is already used in hospitals, and the goal of the first project aims only to demonstrate that a surgeon operating the robot remotely can stitch together two blood vessels in a pig. So I wonder how they're going to do that. Are they going to shoot a pig and then, you know, dope it out and see if the robot can, you know, are they just going to, you know, because they've already done this anyway. The first telesurgery system developed in the 80s gave way to Da Vinci surgical system, but it's too bulky and dependent on too many humans to be used in the field of battle. But currently, it's used in about 300 hospitals worldwide and to remove cancerous prostates, repair faulty heart valves, and other procedures. Which is cool. I mean, anything that saves lives, to me, I think is sweet. But it's something that, you know, we've got to get more of this out there. And another thing that I find interesting is that you notice that this, like, I'm all for people avoiding the path of danger. But more and more, only the very lowest soldier is put in harm's way. You notice that? All the other officers, everyone who's got any kind of education, anyone with any kind of money is held back. And they just send, you know, the great unwashed American people out to die in droves in some war somewhere. Because from these products, does this tell you that they're anticipating more or less war? Well, it seems to me that they're definitely anticipating more war in a very big way. That there are not going to be enough doctors to handle the casualties. I mean, you know, all you got to do is look at the very basics of anticipation to see what they're thinking here. And today's daily hack is how to build your do-it-yourself spectrum analyzer for all you rabid nerds out there like me. This is very cool. There's a million things you can use a spectrum analyzer for. Get out there, get your hands dirty, get some wiring going on, and break out the soldering torch. Because absolutely, we need to keep our brains sharp on a lot of the, and this website here, look around on that site too, because there's lots of great stuff. Build your own night vision equipment, radio frequency jammers, GPS tracking device jammers. Fantastic site. But I liked the spectrum analyzer for some reason, because anything that gives you more data is a good thing. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of people willing to fight to keep your freedoms, well, free. And they are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Gray Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forley, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diarmude, Brandon, and Justin, Matthew, Eric, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. And new subscribers this month. Time is running out for next month, so if you want to get your name in there, make sure you subscribe. Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air to keep your freedoms free, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to some Hardnet runners who brought you this information today. Tech Freak, Bunny Sniffer, Scared One, or Scarred One, Zizix, Miss Fox, Pig Monkey, No Delete, Nyx, Bonsai, Poppy, Sable, Valerian, D.I. Wex, D.I. or Dix Flatline, I guess, Ricky Rocket, Wyandi, and Kitsune no Yuri, who is in a very interesting place in the world altogether. Don't forget that Nauticon is coming up in April, so it gives you a chance to hook up with some people and share like-minded ideas. If you like the music in the background, pick up the new album by my guys, Astral Projection. The album's called 10. Very, very cool stuff. I'm going to leave you now with a track, which is a rockin' tune from my good buddy Sumerian's band, who's usually co-host with me and is the station manager of Rant Radio. Not only is he that, he's also an amazing singer, and this is one of his tracks from his band, Porn on Beta. It's called Fake IDs and Felonies. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.